Once a person has passed away, it's a different story. But then we're told not to bother with people who've passed away anyway. They've gone to what they've sent forward. There's no point. Then criticizing somebody who's already gone. He's gone. If he's a bad person, the world has been relieved. Alhamdulillah. That's what they say. They say that don't keep the janazah for too long. When a person dies, hurry the burying. Because if he's a good person, then let him go to where he wants to go. It's full of bliss for that. And if he's not a good person, well then relieve everybody else of him. Get him into the grave as quickly as possible. But do not criticize somebody who's already gone, because they've gone to what they've already sent forth. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyid al-Mursaleen, wa ala alihi wa sahbihi, wa baraka wa sallama tasliman kathiran ila yawmi al-deen, amma ba'd. Continuing with the rights of people between themselves, he says, وَمِنْ حَقِّ الْأَخِي عَلَى الْأَخِ أَنْ يَحْتَرِمَهُ وَيُوَقِّرَهُ. This is just about having general respect, treating people according to their status, but everybody with at least some level of respect and deference. So everybody has to be treated with some level of respect. And if they have a special merit or a special distinction, they have some kind of position or knowledge or whatever it may be, then they'd have to be treated that much even better. It's just the way we are as social creatures. This is the way of social interaction anyway. So he says, أَن يَحْتَرِمَهُ وَيُوَقِّرَهُ, which is to respect and honor the person. لَا سِيَّمَا إِذَا اسْتَحَقَّ ذَلِكَ كَأَنْ كَانَ مِنَ الْعُلَمَاءِ. Especially if they're deserving of special merit. For example, they are of the ulama, أو مِنْ حَمَلَةِ الْقُرْآنِ الْكَرِيمِ, or they carry the Qur'an with them, which means they are hafiz of the Qur'an. أو مِنْ عِتْرَةِ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمِ, or they are from the family of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So he mentions these three distinctions. Today respect is given to the people who are most violent, who people are scared of. People who are powerful because they have money and influence and position. Not because they have merit that will go beyond this world. Influence that you have in this world, based on a worldly aspect, will not go beyond this world necessarily, unless you use it to the benefit. But these things, a person is from the ulama, a person is of the huffaz, a person is of the family of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this has potential great benefit that continues beyond this world as well. So this is something. And any decent person, a person with wealth, with generosity, he is to be respected. Not because you expect money to come from him, but just because of the fact that he spent so much in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for his love of the deen. So whatever it is, there is respect that should be given for that. According to Imam Nawawi, he says, لا تستصغر أحدا. Do not belittle anybody. Just make that your approach to everybody. Do not belittle anyone. Even if they seem to have some kind of, you know, because commonly, alhamdulillah, in this country, the one thing that we do enjoy here is that there's certain respect, or at least a greater tolerance for disabled people, people with disabilities. Because the laws of discrimination are there, because even buses are accommodating where they are lowered down at bus stops, there's access for disabled people in many, many different places. That's why it's quite amazing. That's why there's a number of people who would rather live here than even in certain Muslim countries, because of the respect that is given to disabled people, people with disabilities. That's a great point of merit. So alhamdulillah, in this country we generally have a better approach towards disabled people. In other countries, you see, in some countries, disabled people are literally, they treat them as if they're mentally disabled as well. If somebody's just physically disabled but completely mentally sound, they have to act like they are mentally disabled as well, because of the way people treat them. That people make, sometimes it's the approach of people that will force somebody to act in a particular way as well. Because there's no positive reinforcements. So there are things that we have to be thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for that we have in this country. No doubt about that. May Allah give tawfiq to do even more. So Imam Nawawi's approach was, do not belittle anybody. فَإِنَّ الْعَاقِبَةَ مُنْتَوِيَةٌ. Because the final state of any person is hidden. It's rolled up. Nobody knows about it yet. Only Allah knows. So for us, we're only seeing the state right now. But there's life to continue and people change. This is the reality of life. So the ending is unknown. وَالْعَبْدُ لَا يَدْرِي بِمَا يُخْتَمُ لَهُ. And nobody knows how his own ending will be. فَإِذَا رَأَيْتَ عَاصِيًا. So then he gives an example. He says, look, if you see a disobedient person, a sinner, a transgressor, if you see such a person, فَلَا تَتَقَدَّمْ نَفْسَكَ عَلَيْهِ. Don't put yourself in front of him. Don't think you're better than him. Yes, what you can do is, you can look at that and say, Alhamdulillah, Allah's protected me from committing that sin. You could say that. You could thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, no doubt about it. You can thank Allah for what He has given you. But that's thanking Allah for what He's given us. It's not demeaning that person, is it? There's two ways of doing this. Don't put yourself ahead of that person. Because, فَرُبَّمَا كَانَ فِي عِلْمِ اللَّهِ أَعْلَى مِنْكَ مَقَامًا. Because in the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He may be of a higher level than you are. And you might wonder how. He's a sinner. You're not a sinner, you think. So how can he be a higher level in the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than we are? Well, he says, because he could be of a higher level than you are, and you could be from the fasiqeen in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he could end up doing shafa'ah for you on the Day of Judgment. He could end up doing intercession for you, because nobody knows the ending. This person could become a wali of Allah, and we may fail and falter, and we may drop down. And then we may need his intercession on the Day of Judgment and be thinking, Subhanallah, I used to see you like this. What a change that you went through. So don't underestimate anybody. Once a person has passed away, it's a different story. But then we're told not to bother with people who've passed away anyway. They've gone to what they've sent forward. There's no point then criticizing somebody who's already gone. He's gone. If he's a bad person, the world has been relieved. Alhamdulillah. That's what they say. They say that don't keep the janazah for too long. When a person dies, hurry the burying. Because if he's a good person, then let him go to where he wants to go. It's full of bliss for that. And if he's not a good person, well then relieve everybody else of him. Get him into the grave as quickly as possible. But do not criticize somebody who's already gone, because they've gone to what they've already sent forth. And then he says, and then if you see somebody younger than you, a child, or just somebody younger than you in general, فَحْكُمْ بِأَنَّهُ خَيْرٌ مِنْكَ. Then just think, judge in your mind that he's better than you. Just think like this. Why? Because he's had opportunity to do less sins than you have. He's had less time in this world. Less sins. وَإِذَا رَأَيْتَهُ أَكْبَرُ مِنْكَ سِنًّا. But if you see somebody who's older than you, then what? He's had more time to do sin. That's if you think that way. But he says, no, don't think that way. Also think that he is better than you, because he's been Muslim for longer than you have. So he's had faith for longer than you had. He could have done much more in that time. You don't know. And if you see a kafir, if you see a non-Muslim, then what? What's the excuse there? فَلَا تَقْطَعْ لَهُ بِالنَّارِ. Don't say with any kind of certainty that he is going to be in the hellfire. Yes, a kafir will be in the hellfire, but this individual who's a kafir, you don't know if he's going to die as a kafir. So do not say with all certainty that he is going to be in the hellfire, because it is very possible that he become a Muslim and he die as a Muslim. And that's your responsibility to start with. That's what you should be thinking about. The next right he speaks about between brothers is أَنْ يُثْنِيَ عَلَيْهِ فِي غَيْبَتِهِ وَفِي حُضُورِهِ. All of these are very relevant, very valuable points. Each one. This is another one, which is praise your brother. Praise your brother. Both in his presence and also in absence. Now, this has to be taken with a grain of salt, because sometimes praise will cause the person to bloat and to become too big. So this is when he's saying this, generally the praise he's going to be speaking about this. He's saying that praise your brother both in his absence, which should always be the case. You should always praise your brothers in his absence. You should always say something good about them. But also in his presence, بِطَرِيقِ الشَّرْعِ, but only in the way legislated by the Sharia. So only in the Sunnah way, not when it's going to cause harm. That would be against the Sunnah and the Sharia to do that. So only when it's Shari'i. فَإِنَّ ذَلِكَ مِمَّا يَزِيدُ فِي صَفَاءِ الْمَوَدَّةِ. When you say praise here, we're not talking about flattery. We're not talking about just making up stuff and just saying things just to make them feel good. We're talking about a genuine point of thanks that we give to people. MashaAllah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you great qualities. It's kind of an encouragement as well, isn't it? And if it's coming from a friend, if it's coming from a person who's close to you, who's a companion of yours, then praising somebody clears the heart of the other person. That he's praising me, which means that he thinks I'm of value. It helps a lot. If you get praise from somebody close to you, right, you actually feel like you're appreciated. It actually increases the love. It purifies the connection and the affection, no doubt about that. Because it's not done for flattery. You know when somebody's flattering you for no reason. This is not done for that. This is not speaking about just any odd praise about something. This is just genuinely speaking about, MashaAllah, that's very good you did that. It's very good you helped that person. MashaAllah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you a lot of qualities, and inshallah you can even do more with that. So one of this older person who's, MashaAllah, I believe he's a wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I went to visit him. And his nephew, or was it his son, I can't remember now. He told him to bring some food, and the person took a bit of time or something, kind of sat around or something. He said, "Hey, wali of Allah, go and bring the food." Like we would say, you know, something bad, derogatory, because he's delaying. So he said, "Oh, wali of Allah, go and bring the food." So he's saying something good about him even in that situation. I thought that was a really nice touch. May Allah give us the tawfiq for that as well. Imam Tabarani relates that إِذَا مُدِحَ الْمُؤْمِنِ, when a believer is praised, فِي وَجْهِهِ, in his face, رَبَ الْإِيمَانُ فِي قَلْبِهِ, Iman grows in his heart. The faith grows in his heart. When a believer is praised in his face. Now you're thinking, what about the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which says, somebody praises you, throw some dirt at him. You know, throw some dirt at him, because it's to show that we're all dirt and we're all dust, and don't flatter me. Well, what is meant here is when a complete believer, a proper believer, that's what they speak, not just anybody. The hadith mentions that when a complete believer is praised, he will thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for concealing his faults. He will thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for concealing his faults and only giving a good impression about him. So he will know who to thank for this. He won't think that this praise is coming because of my own merit, because I deserve it. Allah deserves the praise, because Allah has concealed my faults, because I know how many faults I have. So Allah has concealed his faults and he has just expressed his good merits. So his iman will increase in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala even more because of that. Then he says that this is when you're still building a relationship with somebody. Once you are totally at a very personal connection, very informal, and you're very closely related, then praise doesn't work. It can still be reassuring, but then it doesn't work, because you're between a husband and wife. I mean, praise is very good between a husband and wife, but generally in other situations, once you have that relationship, then you have a very informal kind of relationship, then sometimes praise is a bit overdone then in that case. So one has to look at the context as well. So he says, إِذَا صَفَتِ الْمَوَدَّةُ بَيْنَ قَوْمٍ وَصَحَّ وَلَاؤُهُمْ سَمُجَ الثَّنَاءُ. That once love has been established between a group of people and their affiliation is very strong, then after that it seems out of place for you to praise. But then you can still appreciate. Another quality that he mentions, or another right between brothers, is أَنْ يُكْرِمَهُ إِذَا وَرَدَ عَلَيْهِ. See, he's separating each one out. He has given each one a significance. So if he comes to visit you, your brother comes to visit you. Now remember, I mean, I know this should be taken for granted, but for the sisters who are listening, this applies in that sense as well. This also applies between brothers and sisters, between them, because that's another relationship that has to be built up. Sisters and brothers, brothers and sisters, blood relatives. And of course, between sisters, if they have this, when they have this relationship, this is also right between them as well. Just because he's addressing brothers, that's why he's addressing everybody as brothers, but otherwise it includes the sisters. أَنْ يُكْرِمَهُ, to honor them if they come to visit. بِأَنْ يَتَلَقَّاهُ بِالتَّرْحِيبِ. First and foremost, to welcome them. Welcoming itself is a touch that really, really, really enhances a visit. What do you mean by welcoming? Welcoming could mean anything up to going out to receive them. You know somebody's coming, so you wait out for them. That's a very good touch. Very difficult for a lot of people to do. You know they're coming at 5 o'clock. So you go out 2 minutes earlier with your family, with your kids or whatever to... What are you doing outside? Oh, we're waiting for you. What a touch. You know, when you're not expecting that as a guest, that's quite impressive. Then the Arabs had words for this. Ahlan wa sahlan wa marhaban. Ahlan. Essentially, ahlan meant atayta ahlan. You've come to family. This is your home. So immediately you're being said, this is your home. Don't make it, as the saying goes, that hospitality is that you tell your guests to feel at home when you wish they were at home. You tell your guests to feel at home when you wish they were at home, meaning in their own house. That's just a negative hospitality. But in this case, what we have is, you say ahlan. So ahlan means you've come to family. So you should feel comfortable. You're not strange. It's not strangers. وَوَتَيْتَ سَهْلًا. سَهْلًا, سهلًا means soft land. وَطَيْتَ سَهْلًا, which means, and you have come and treading on soft soil. Your journey has not been hard. Hopefully your journey has been good. So it's really taking all of this into consideration. And مَرْحَبًا. رَحَبْنَا بِكُمْ مَرْحَبًا, which means we welcome you. We open up our arms for you. So it's all of these things. So now, whatever the culture is to say good things, you can say these things. Don't say words that they won't understand. The point is to get their heart and to make them feel comfortable and to make them feel welcome. Have a cheerful face. Talaqatul wajh. Have a cheerful face. Not like you're waiting for somebody to come, they come and like, okay. They're going to think like, have I bothered you or something? So, but have a cheerful face when you see somebody. The Prophet ﷺ said that it's from the sadaqah that when you meet your brother, you meet them with a cheerful face anyway. So especially in this case, you have to have a cheerful face. Talaqatul wajh, you call that. وَيَأْخُذُهُ بِالْعَنَاقِ إِنْ كَانَ رَجُلًا. You embrace them. You don't embrace them. I mean, there's some people who are embracing each other after every salat. Right? It gets a bit over the limit sometimes. Shaking hands is not necessary each time. Especially if two people are speaking and you go and insist when you see them to go and shake their hands, you're disturbing them. Right? Yes, salam is the sunnah, salam. Shaking the hands is a completion of that when possible. And hugging, embracing, generally is done when you've seen somebody after a while. Generally. So in this case, you give them an embrace. He says, if it's a man, right, of course, if it's a woman, you don't do that, and this is your sister, right? وَيَفْرِشُ لَهُ شَيْئًا يَقِيهِ مِنَ التُّرَابِ. Now, in those days, we're not speaking about furnished apartments in those days necessarily. So, you know, you had kachi zameen, you had the ground was just like that. So, he's saying, and put something, lay something down for them to sit on. I mean, these days we don't lay anything down because it's already all carpet and everything. Then you essentially say, brother, please sit here. Give them the best position, the best place. Sit down here. Give, you know, put a few extra pillows here and there. It's just a gesture to make them look good, make them feel good about it. One thing I would say though, that if you become too, possessive and too focused and too in everything, you know, you don't let them move, then that gets a bit suffocating as well. So avoid that. Be professional about it. Somebody was mentioning he went to the Emirates Lounge in the UK, in London, and he felt like he was being watched throughout. Because every moment somebody's, and there's like tons of attendants and they're all going past asking, do you want anything? He said when he was in Abu Dhabi, it was different. They were much more professional about it. You didn't feel like you were being watched. So there has to be a level of professionalism. So sometimes you go to somebody's house, you're suffocated. They want, like, you move and they're like, can I do this for you? Like, come on, man. Give them some independence. Essentially, it's to show you're welcome, but not to suffocate somebody. Not to make somebody feel uncomfortable. There's a tact for that. And you have to go by reaction. And you learn it. If you make mistakes as a host, you will learn. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when Adi ibn Hatim came to visit him in a delegation, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave him a pillow. He forwarded him a pillow on which he could sit down. So Adi radiallahu anhu then said, فَعَرَفْتُ أَنَّهُ لَيْسَ بِمَلِكٍ. I then recognized that he's not a king. He's not a king. He has respect here. Because kings are sitting in their pomp. Somebody else will, if they're going to honor you, somebody else will honor you, not the king. There'll be attendants to honor you. But when the leader himself honors you, it means this person is something else. Another right that he speaks about, أَن يُوَسِّعْ لَهُ فِي الْمَجْلِسِ إِذَا رَآهُ. This is a wonderful one. فَإِنَّ ذَلِكَ مِمَّا يَزِيدُ فِي تَقْوِيَةِ الْمَوَدَّةِ. When you see the person and he's coming in, then you move up a bit to accommodate him. You make arrangements to accommodate him. There's a hadith in which he quotes half of it. Essentially, a person came in. There was lots of space. And the Prophet ﷺ, but what the Prophet ﷺ did is when that person came in, he moved up for him. Just slightly. Right? He just like, you know. And the person said, you didn't have to move up, there's enough space. He said, yes, but it's the right of a brother or on his brother or for his brother that when he comes, he moves up for him. It just shows that you're welcome. If I'm just sitting there and it comes and I just like, oh, okay. It just feels like, man, I'm not wanted here. But if I'm like, oh, mashallah, assalamu alaikum, you know. It's like I'm... You shouldn't have to tell them, let them tell you, budge up, brother, as they say. So as you can see, these are all fine touches. Unfortunately, this has become only the domain of hospitality, hotels. This is the kind of stuff they study to make their service better than anybody else. This is what you get 5 stars for, all of these kind of things. And you know, you go into some of these 5-star hotels, this is exactly what you'll see. You know, people will welcome you, there's a certain level that they get their 5 stars for, not just for anything, because you're made to feel very comfortable, you're paying for it there. But this is all supposed to be, Muslims are supposed to be 5-star throughout in their service to others. It should be part of just their demeanor, just their nature. So the next one, he says, the next right is, Allah yad'uhu bi-ismihi faqat. Allah yad'uhu bi-ismihi faqat. Do not call him just by his name. This is a lot probably based on culture. See, in the Arab culture, once a person is of a certain status or they have children, you do not call them by their name. It's not respectful. Indian Pakistani culture, Western culture, the name is fine. Right? The name is fine. But in Arab culture, you do not call them by their name. You call them Abu something, the father of the oldest the father of the oldest son or daughter. Abu Hudhayfa, Abu Yusuf, you know, Abu Aisha, Ummu Aisha. Even the husband and wife won't call them by their names, they will call them by Abu and Umm. It's culture. So, that's why he's saying that one of the scholars in their council, it says that when you call upon your brother, honor him in your calling as well. Honor him in your calling. This will increase the mahabbah and love between you. He says that it's actually part of unfriendliness that a brother just calls a brother just by their normal name without using their agnomen. Agnomen is Abu, your father of so and so, or laqab, or a pet name, like a nice title for them. Or lafdhu siyada, a honorific, a name of honor like my master. You know, my master, this doesn't sound right in Arabic, in English, right? But in Arabic, ya sayyidi, our leader, our elder. In Urdu they have hadrat. So these are different cultural terms that you can use. What's in English? How do you respect somebody in... Sir, it sounds a bit too formal. Only the Indians say that. The Indian Pakistanis. You know, if anybody calls you sir, it's an Indian Pakistani from India, Pakistan. Sir, are you okay, sir? And nobody else says sir. Who says sir these days? Well, we do. We do kind of say. But generally, you don't say in common terms, right? They do say, how are you, sir? It depends on how you say it, I guess. Madam. Sir and Madam. They've even taken the word Madam in Arabic now. They say Madam, Madam so and so, Madam kada wa kada, yani. They use the word Madam in Arabic. I was like, man, you've got your own words. Why do you have to take an English word for? And they've taken the word hello, so, ya hala. That's what they say. Another thing I found out about, really I found very strange. A side point. Found very strange. That for us, most people that are sitting here, well, many people that are sitting here, you're sitting here because it's Ramadan. Allah give you tawfiq to sit here even after Ramadan. But you're sitting here because it's Ramadan. I have a point to make because of that, right? Allah be thanked for that. So in England, you've got all of these programs that are taking place, religious programs. Religious radio Ramadan. Religious radio programs. Right? In the Arab world, you've got special soaps for Ramadan, and it's the most watched time. It's like people got nothing else to do in Ramadan, so they watch soaps. And we're not talking about religious soaps. We're talking about, what was it? What did they say? Was it? There was a Western equivalent of some kind of romance, love story coming out of Lebanon, and everybody's watching this. It's like a big hit. They watch it in Ramadan. And I was just shocked. I said, SubhanAllah, we're in the West here. We're turning to our deen in Ramadan. We're going for programs. See, many more people going for programs. And in these countries, they're watching all of these special soaps in Ramadan. It's an article on BBC. I'm not encouraging you to go and read it, but I've told you the news. I found that really strange. What a slumber. We've got something to be thankful for to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. People generally feel religious in Ramadan. So sir, madam, what else can you say out of respect? Anything else, people? Boss. Oh, when you go to the markets, you hear also love. Love's a big one. Every woman is a love. How are you, love? New one is babe. It's like some weird name or something. Can't find anything better than that. Dear. How are you, dear? Yeah. I guess there are words in English. I mean, English is a rich language, I mean, at the end of the day. Yeah. Sorry. There was once, I was interviewing a teacher, and there was this discussion that came between about Urdu and English. He said, I prefer Urdu. I said, why do you prefer Urdu? I know Urdu is a beautiful language. He says, because it's easier to translate the Quran in Urdu, which it is, right? But it's possible, and they were saying that, you know, you can't say all of these, they were trying to imply that you can't say all of these respectful terms and everything like this in English. It's kind of like a bare kind of language. But that's only because the slang that most people speak, it's their level of awareness of the language that restricts them. But at the end of the day, most languages do have some kind of decent, unless the culture's really off. I mean, there has been some decent words in the language. The next point that he makes is, yeah, and then he says, likewise, when you address their children or grandchildren, also address them respectfully because of your connection with them, because of the connection of the father. And another right he talks about is, أَن يَعْتَرِفَ لَهُ بِالْفَضْلِ. Whatever merits, acknowledge them. Whatever they do good for you, acknowledge them. Also, يُظْهِرَ لَهُ عَدَمَ مُكَافَأَتِهِ. Also express that I am unable to fulfill my rights towards you. I'm unable to fulfill my rights of brotherhood or to give you a suitable return for what you have done for me. Saying these things. La siyama in kana qad bada'ahu bi hadiyya. Especially if he's come to give you the gift first. If he gave you a gift first. Now look at this, very, very important. Because look, somebody gave you a gift. And then you decided to give him a gift as well, because he gave you a gift. You may have been able to recompense him for the gift that he gave, but you will never be able to recompense and reward him for the fact that he initiated the gift. That's something he beat you by. So how can you recompense somebody fully for a gift that they gave you first? Which also shows that the one who gives the gift first is the better one. Because once you receive a gift, you feel obliged to give something back. Then it becomes reciprocal, as opposed to an initiation. So take the initiative. And he says that this point has been made by Shaykh Muhyiddin Ibn al-Arabi. Another thing he says that when something good has been done to you, then let people know. I mean, of course, if it's a secret, or something that they don't want people to know about, then don't. Because you don't want everybody knocking on their door tomorrow. Right? But if it's something good that should be said, because it will give him a good merit in front of people, not that it's going to become a burden on him. Don't praise somebody for something that's going to become a burden for them tomorrow. Right? Oh, he lent me £50,000. Everybody's going to be at his door tomorrow. He doesn't have £50,000. Right? So there's certain things you have to be careful about. But something they did well is to say, look, he really went out of his way to help me. Because that will hopefully give somebody else the opportunity to do dua for them. It says that anybody who some good turn has been done to them, they should let others know. Because anybody who does let others know, then they have thanked, they have fulfilled the gratitude. Anybody who hides it, then they have been ungrateful. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and a person who's not thankful to people is not going to be thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because you can't see things coming from Allah. You can see it coming from people. If you can't recognize that and you don't thank them, then there's no way you're going to thank Allah, because you don't even see anything coming from them. You're going to be ungrateful for that. And another point he makes, another one of the rights, is that أَن يَزُورَهُ كُلَّ قَلِيلٍ مِّنَ الْأَيَّامِ. Every now and then, every few days, visit. Pay a visit. فَفِي الْحَدِيثِ, there's a narration which mentions, إِمْشِي مِيلًا عُدْ مَرِيضًا. Walk a mile to visit the sick. إِمْشِي مِيلَيْن أَصْلِحْ بَيْنَ اثْنَيْن. Walk 2 miles, so that you can reconcile between two brothers. If you have to walk 2 miles for that, do so. And إِمْشِي ثَلَاثَةَ أَمْيَالٍ زُرْ أَخًا فِي اللَّهِ تَعَالَى. Walk 3 miles to visit a brother of yours for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So go out of your way to visit. And this is one of the big problems of the modern day. Everybody's saying this. Times have changed. Everybody's busy. And especially in London, we're even more busy than up north. It's just a lifestyle. I mean, there's no doubt about that. You visit people in other areas, and it's easier to get around anyway. So you go to one of, you know, even Birmingham, even Manchester, it's much easier to get around. It's much easier to visit. In London, those kind of people hate coming down to London anyway. Right? It's because it's a nightmare to drive here, in many cases. When I came back from America, it took me about 3 months to remove my frustration in driving. Then I became used to it. I mean, it was extremely frustrating. Because I was in Santa Barbara, where you literally stop to let somebody pass. Here, nobody stops for anybody. You know, they were so casual. If you like just cut, it would be really bad. It was just very casual. And then 10 miles would be 10 minute driving because you just jump on the motorway. Here, 10 miles Heathrow is like a horror to get to Heathrow. It's easier to fly. The worst part is to actually come back home from Heathrow to East London. The flight is easier. I don't know if anybody agrees with me, but seriously, that's what I find. There is a saying which says, the one who visits his brother and eats at their house is higher level than the one who's feeding. So, because once somebody's at your house, you have to feed them, otherwise it looks really bad. But going out of your way to go to somebody's house to visit them is superior, unless that's how you're living off people. Every day you're visiting somebody because so you don't have to cook at home. That's a different story. But what we're saying here is a person who's visiting somebody, you know, to create a bond. That's what's important. He also said that when somebody visits their brother, and that person welcomes you and puts something down for you, then he is also will be protected from the hellfire. There's another one which says, "Zur fillah, fa innahu man zara fillah shayyahu sab'una alf malak." Visit people for the sake of Allah, because anybody who visits for the sake of Allah, 70,000 angels will escort him. Sayyidi Ibrahim al-Matbuli, he mentions that make sure you hasten to visit your brothers. Make sure you visit them often. Keep in touch, essentially. If you can't visit them, at least give them a call. وَإِيَّاكَ أَن تَنْقَطِ عَنْهُمْ بِحَيْثُ يَسْتَوْحِشُونَ فَيَأْتُونَ إِلَى زِيَارَتِكَ. Don't keep it for so long. Don't stay away for so long that they become worried. They feel estranged that maybe you've got a problem with them. And then they are forced to visit you. For us, we look, in our culture, unfortunately, it's all about tit for tat. Which means, we visit somebody. If they don't visit us back, we might visit them once more. And if they still don't visit us, then we say, there's no point, they don't visit us. We're not going to visit them. With my relatives, what I've done is I don't care if they visit me or not. I tell them to visit me. But as people are busy, I don't care. I just never feel bad that they haven't visited me. I just said, there's no point feeling bad. When I can, I will go and visit them. Unfortunately, I can't as much as I'd like to. But at least it's not in my mind that I'm not going to visit them because, and there are people who've not visited me, but I will try to visit them. Unfortunately, there's people I haven't visited for a long time, but at least in my mind is clear. That's very important. Otherwise, this creates so much discord, rancor, hatred between families. Now, why did you do this to a stranger? If you do it with your own family, it's really bad. So don't just don't keep that in your mind. And believe me, if you don't keep that in your mind, it's not a problem then. Problems are you bring on yourself by these little cultural restraints and curbs that we have. Believe me, it'll liberate you if you do that. It says that Imam Shafi'i, now you know Imam Shafi'i and Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal. Imam Shafi'i was the elder. He was a teacher of Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal. Imam Ahmad was a student. However, Imam Ahmad would go and visit his student quite often at his house. And Imam Ahmad would visit his teacher as well many times. So they used to visit each other. It wasn't like that only the student had to visit the teacher, but the teacher would visit. In fact, I think it's mentioned about Imam Shafi'i, Imam Ahmad, I can't remember. Once what happened is somebody must have asked a question, he gave a response which maybe the person didn't like, or there was a difference of opinion. They had an argument about something. And then the person didn't come or something like that. He ended up at his house at night and he said, look, you know, we can have differences of opinion, but our brotherhood should stay the same. Anyway, they used to visit each other. So once then somebody asked Imam Shafi'i about this, that you visit him as well, you visit your student. So then he said in a poem, he says, قالوا يزورك أحمد فتزوره قلت الفضائل لا تفارق منزله إن زارني فبفضله أو زرته فلفضله فالفضل في الحالين له. It's so beautiful. Imam Shafi'i is the teacher. when he's asked why he visits Imam Ahmad, he said, they say that Ahmad visits you and you visit him. I say that the virtue, the distinction and the virtue and the merit does not leave his house. The virtue and merit and all, it's all Imam Ahmad's, it's all in his house. If he visits me, it's because of his merit that he visits me. And if I visit him, then it's because of his merit that I visit him. And the merit and distinction in both cases is his. He's saying that about his student, right? What a love they had between them. Imam Ahmad heard about this, and then he was forced to give a response. And his response was obviously no less than that. He says, إِن زُرْتَنَا فَبِفَضْلٍ مِّنْكَ تَمْنَحُنَا أَوْ نَحْنُ زُرْنَا فَلِلْفَضْلِ الَّذِي فِيكَ فَلَا عَدَمَنَا كِلَ الْحَالَيْنِ مِنْكَ وَلَا نَالَ الَّذِي يَتَمَنَّا مِنْكَ شَانِيكَ. What this means is, if you visit us, then it's your grace that you're visiting, that you're giving us. It's your honor that you're giving us. And if we visit you, then it's because of the great, because of the fadl and the grace and the merit that you have. Because in both situations, we're not to be deprived of your merit. So he basically responds in poetry as well like that. Finally, one of the Shaykh's teachers, Sayyidi Ali Al-Khawas, he used to say that visiting your brothers increases the deen, increases the faith. Right? For the right reason, it will increase the faith. And abandoning it will decrease the faith. And he said that some people said, if your capital diminishes, visit your brothers. Hopefully you'll get barakah that way. However, the author does mention, faith will only increase by meeting your brothers if you fulfill the rites of ziyarah, the adab of ziyarah. If you fulfill the rites of visitation. Not if it's done to cause problems and gossip and things like that. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq. Allahumma anta as-salamu wa anta as-salam tabarak ya dhal jalali wal ikram. Allahumma ya hayyu ya qayyum bi rahmatika nastaghith. Allahumma ya hannan ya mannan. La ilaha illa anta subhanaka inna kunna min adh-dhalimin. Jazallahu anna Muhammadan ma huwa ahlu. Allahumma salli wa sallim ala sayyidina Muhammad wa ala ali sayyidina Muhammad wa barik wa sallim. Oh Allah, don't deprive us of the barakat and blessings of Ramadan. Make this month a month in which all of our sins are forgiven and we're purified, and allow the barakat of the Ramadan to continue and endure for the rest of our lives. O Allah, allow us to be better in each Ramadan as we pass it. O Allah, grant us the great blessings and the mercy and the rahmah. Grant us the kalima on our deathbed. And O Allah, we ask that you accept our sitting here for these days. We ask that it be beneficial for all of us and it improve our relationship with each other. O Allah, you're the turner of the hearts. We read these things. O Allah, we ask you to inspire our hearts. We ask you to inspire our hearts. We ask you to inspire our hearts. Remove the acrimony and the hatred and the rancor that plagues our communities. O Allah, grant us unity. Grant the Muslim world unity. Grant the Muslim world unity. Remove the fire that rages throughout. And O Allah, protect us. And grant us the company of your messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun wa salamun ala al-mursalin walhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.
The point of a lecture is to encourage people to act, to get further, an inspiration, an encouragement, persuasion. The next step is to actually start learning seriously, to read books, to take on a subject of Islam and to understand all the subjects of Islam, at least at their basic level, so that we can become more aware of what our deen wants from us. And that's why we started Rayyan courses, so that you can actually take organized lectures on demand whenever you have free time, especially, for example, the Islamic Essentials course that we have on there, the Islamic Essentials Certificate, which you take 20 short modules. And at the end of that, inshallah, you will have gotten the basics of most of the most important topics in Islam, and you'll feel a lot more confident. You don't have to leave lectures behind. You can continue to to listen to lectures, but you need to have this more sustained study as well. Jazakallah khairan. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.